You know, this is a subject that many people deny. Some even snub and some shirk. Because there have been people down through the years that have taught concerning that seed, and really, they did not stick to God's word. And you know, we are so adept to picking up phrases. Don't like for you to pick up phrases. Look at the words. Serpent, seed. What are we talking about from the manuscripts? What does seed mean? Sperma in the Greek. It means anything that God has created whereby within itself is reproduction. Whether it be animal, human, or plant, vegetable. What about serpent? Well, let's put this one to rest right away by allowing the Word of God to tell you who the serpent of the garden is. Revelation chapter 12, verse 6, 7, and 8, declaring that Michael cast that old dragon, which is to say the serpent, who is called the devil, from the heavens onto the earth. That is when he appears as Antichrist. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 and 2. That old dragon, which is the serpent, which is the devil. What does the word serpent mean, and why has it fascinated men down through the history? And we could talk for 30 minutes about the serpent. People and what various beliefs, mythology, so forth, have done with this, simply because the serpent sloughs off its skin once a year and starts anew. They see within that life recreation. Well, it's just an appearance, that's all. Just an appearance. All he gets is a glossy coat that makes him more shiny. And the word in the Hebrew tongue is the upright one or the glistening one. It's really a thing of beauty. That's why it is one of the very befitting names for Satan himself. So what are we talking about? We're talking about Satan's offspring. And again, many will say, never heard tell of such a thing. Well, let me tell you something. We're going to be going way back in our Father's Word. Not really as far back as I would like to. We'll pick this up at Passover. Way back to the beginning as to why he would be called the serpent and why there was a seed. You see, Jesus is returning soon. We're going to be discussing that a little bit. That has been shall be. Everything that goes around comes around. And there is nothing new under the sun. Our Father continues giving us example after example after example, whereby we have a privilege and an opportunity, if we take advantage of it, to learn from the examples that he sets forth. He's returning soon, and he's going to say to a large group, when they run up to him and say, Jesus, Jesus, I've healed in your name. I've cast out demons. He's going to say, you get away from me. I know ye not. Or better yet, I never knew you. What does the word new mean? These people, what must they have been? Here they're casting out devils and they're healing. They must call themselves Christians. Indeed, they do. They practice Christianity. But they haven't cracked the Word of God even open to know and understand the Word. They play church. That's why Jesus will say, get away from me. You know, he has very little patience. He's got lots of patience when we go the overall through the millennium and so forth. But he does not allow as an excuse those that would call themselves Christians and will not read his letter that he has written, his book of instructions. What do I mean by that? He will hold them accountable for it because they claim to know. That's why Jesus will say, you get away from me, I never knew you. It's a hard thing. Many would say, well, I just can't imagine Jesus saying something like that. Well, he will. And he has before. God hates sluggards. Do you know what a sluggard is in the Hebrew tongue? It's a lazy person with His Word. You better pay attention. And then probably this subject has more to do with the key of David, written of in Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 through, say, 9. The key to David. David, the lineage through which Christ would come. He said, you got a key. You can put it into my word, and you can turn that lock and open doors that no man can shut. Why? God's truth stands. But it would seem that not too many have even heard of the key of David, much less to understand what it is. And as we hasten to add, even those that Jesus says, get away from me, yet on the first day of the millennium, every knee will bow to him, that great time of teaching. But now, you want to make certain that you're not in that group, for indeed they carry the name Christian, for they teach and they heal, supposedly, in his name. So you want to make very sure. So we do this exercise. Serpent seed? Could Jesus have ever taught such a thing? Well, let's find out. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to read a parable, and it states in the fourth chapter of Luke, if you don't understand this parable of Jesus, you won't understand any of them. You may think you do, but if you don't understand this parable, you'll understand none in their entirety. Matthew 13. Jesus was speaking in parables. This concerns the sower. What does the term to sow mean? What method of sowing was used at the time of this writing? It was called broadcasting. In other words, you had an apron or a pouch of seed, and you walked along broadcasting, much like our term of broadcasting today. It goes out in every direction. We broadcast the word. Well, this was a parable concerning, not specifically television or radio broadcasting, but planting seeds in your daily life. In other words, from the bottom to the top. Broadcasting, sowing seed. Before you can sow seed, which consists of the word, doesn't it make common sense you should know the word? You really can't teach if you don't know the word. You have nothing to teach. You might tell of Christ's love, and that's beautiful. But you can speak of Christ's love all day long, and he will still, if you have worshipped the false Christ, tell you to get out of his sight. So it's imperative that you understand this parable. You know the parable of the sower. It was sowing the seed. The seed was the word. Some of it fell on the way, which is to say the hard path where the bare feet and sandals had packed it to the utmost, and it couldn't take root. You've all planted gardens. You know how you cultivate it, you tend it, you follow it, and perhaps you can grow a seed. You do the same thing with the word. First, you try to pick a person that is fit soil, and by fit, I don't mean somebody that is somebody. I mean a person that's willing to listen. The state in life has absolutely nothing to do with it. And you plant that seed. But they asked Jesus, after he had mentioned this broadcasting, why don't you just come out straight and tell them? And he says in Matthew 13, verse 10, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Now that is the Lord Jesus Christ talking. Some people cannot hear the word. Why? It's not time for them. And so we have it thusly. He explains the basic part, and then he goes into the in-depth meaning of the parable. Let's pick it up, if we may, in verse 24. And another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven, what is our subject? The kingdom of heaven is, you want to know what it's like? Is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. What's good seed? It's God's word. It's good seed, but now we're turning that parable to mean offspring, progeny. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Do you know what a tare is? Understand, first of all, I don't care if you memorize the names of Juan for the plant that is in and around Palestine. It looks exactly like wheat. You know, we got an old weed in this country that looks an awful lot like wheat. Well, this one, as a wand, looks a lot more than the one we have in this country. As a matter of fact, until it produces grain, you can't tell the difference. Thus another parable. Does it come to your mind? By their fruit you shall know them. So simple. So basic. The simplicity in which Christ taught. An enemy sowed bad seed in and among the planting of the good man's seed. All right, you got that? Let's go on. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, in other words, you've got to be a fruit inspector to know the difference. There's nothing more to it than that. There appeared the tares also, black, bitter grain, poisonous. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not to sow good seed in thy field? Question. From whence then hath it tares? Question. He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. Now let it sink into your mind. Who did it? An enemy. I want to ask you something. How many enemies does God have? Basically, one. We just plant a little seed for ourselves. Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, that's no. Leave them alone. We have some occasionally, they learn what a tare is, and they say, Ah, well, I'll go get them. Leave them alone. No. Lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. In other words, you would so offend some of the pure grain that you would lose your credibility. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first. When? First, the tares. And bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my, I say again, my barn. And there you have that parable. Do you think for a moment that the disciples understood that? They didn't. They truly did not. He gives another parable, but I want to skip on to verse 34. And these things spake Jesus unto the multitude. Who did he speak them to? He spoke them to the multitudes in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. Everything a mystery. Unless you have the key to David, which is simply to say, unless you understand, or God has given you through the Holy Spirit the ability to understand his word. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. In other words, what are we saying here? Before Jesus taught this, it was still no mystery. A prophet had already foretold of it. I will utter things which are kept secret from where? From the foundation of the world. This in the Greek is a verb which means before the overthrow of Satan in the first rebellion in the world that was, quite frankly. When Satan led a third of God's children away from the Heavenly Father, and he destroyed all things and brought in a new earth age, spoken of by Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3. And then Jesus sent the multitude away, and he went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. You know what they're saying? I don't get it. I don't understand it. Though you intend for us to, I don't. Now, I want you to be very aware of something. What we're about to read is not a parable, not spoken in a mystery. It is Jesus Christ laying forward straight truth. Anyone should be able to understand that, if they have ears to hear. And he answered and he said unto them, He that sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. It is the God tabernacling in flesh that is the man-son of the living God. The field is the world. I really don't see anything too difficult about that, do you? What again was this field we're talking about? It's this world age. No more, no less. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. Can you understand that? The good seed that was sowed in the world were the children of the kingdom. What is a kingdom? A kingdom is made up of two Hebrew words. Molech, king. Melech, better said. And dominion, which is the world. In other words, who will be in the King of Kings' dominion? That's what it is. They're the children of that, the true children of the living God. But the tares are. Now, he's going to tell us. We're not speaking in a parable. We're explaining one. The tares are the children. Now, did it say apples? Did it say these are the pears of the whatever he's going to say here? No. Most people can understand. We're not speaking in a parable. We're talking about children. Got it? We have some running loose around the place. Not loose, but we hopefully. But around the place here, all right? It's children. Just plain old, simple, wonderful, loving children. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The wicked one, in a sense, is a figure of speech. It's always Satan's name. It means the devil. It means the serpent. Well, are you trying to tell me that the serpent then has children? No, I'm not trying to. Christ is. It's written in God's Word. Well, but he was speaking in a parable. Friend, if you have any intelligence at all, he's explaining a parable. Laying it out in black and white, tares and wheat. Verse 39, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. Boy, that's tough, isn't it? Boy, that's deep. I really don't find it deep at all. I find it so simple that I have 8-year-old children writing me letters telling how they have to teach even some of their teachers. And they usually get in trouble because they don't understand the Word of God. It indeed does me proud. It really does me proud. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. What did he sow? He sowed children. Well, how do you sow children? Well, have you ever heard of the birds and bees? It's really simple. The harvest is the end of the world. This is the harvest where we bundle them and burn them. Now listen to me. When does this world age end? Many, at first, if you're not careful, you're going to say it's the millennium. Wrong. Wrong. This world age does not end until the end of the millennium, after the 1,000 years, when the lake of fire is prepared for the consuming fire, our Heavenly Father. Then they're burned. Well, why aren't they burned when he comes back? Because it's written, every knee's going to bow. Even Satan's children will bow. For it is written in that record I prompted you of a moment ago, Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. You that have the key to David, that's to say you that can see into these scriptures, know those who claim to be of Judah, but lie and are the synagogue of Satan, meaning the children, students of Satan. They claim to be of Judah, but they're lying. That's not my words. Again, straight from Christ's mouth. Then it says, at the millennium, they shall come and worship at your feet. Why, your feet? Because you're at the feet of Christ and it's Christ they're worshiping. They will, inasmuch as we have a loving God, have an opportunity, even if Satan sowed them, to accept Christ when he is bound in that pit. And many of you will have a part in this because you do have eyes to see and you do have ears to hear. 40, therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. So, did Jesus teach it? Well, if I recollect correctly, it stated very clearly while explaining the parable, and it was Christ talking, and he really doesn't mess around a whole lot, friend. He said the one that sowed those wicked children was the devil. Jesus again, in the 8th chapter of St. John, stated, I know you claim to be Abraham's children, but you seek to kill me. Abraham didn't do that. In other words, I'm testing your fruit, and it don't add up. It's not handing up, friend. You're wanting to kill me. He says, because you are the offspring, the seed, sperma in the Greek, of your father, the first murderer. Oh, Lord, now he's given us another problem, hasn't he? The first murderer. Well, let me see, who was it? Well, I heard back in Sunday school a long time ago, it was Cain. You got it. That's really rough, isn't it? The children of Cain. And then he goes on, and Jesus, not me, Jesus said, ye are of your father the devil. He was speaking real literal, just like he was in the 13th chapter of Mark. Well, I never heard such tell of such. Well, you never studied God's Word then, did you, friend? Let's just be honest about it. You've never actually studied God's Word. You've listened to man instead, rather than taking that Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse, line by line, word by word, and understanding the simplicity of it. So, it stands to reason then. We begin to think, well, Cain was the first murderer, and that he was, that's written. And these are the father of the devil, then it means he was. And it must have been this that Jesus was talking about, that the enemy sowed the seed. And then your mind should say, why was Cain so evil? And the knowledge that the foundation has just been affixed in your mind should answer it for you. Shouldn't be that big a deal, friend, as to why Cain had murder in his heart because of his father. And many people read the first 6 chapters of Genesis, and they've read it over, I don't know how many times, and they never question the fact that Cain is not in Adam's genealogy. Never is Cain listed in Adam's genealogy. Why? You know the answer. It wasn't his son. It wasn't his progeny. It was the progeny of you-know-who. And so it is written in the epistles of John, 1 John. What is it, chapter 3 or 5? Which is it? Escapes me at 3:11. Cain, not as Cain, who was of in the Greek progeny, that wicked one, the devil. All through God's Word, and yet it's a great mystery. People never heard of it before. Why? They don't read their Bibles. They don't read the Word of God. Now let's go back where it all happened. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. Let's study it well. Let's see if we can pick out now with that foundation how these seed, these tares, came to be planted. Which, what are the tares? You know, the devil's children. Oh, how I love this book of Genesis. But our subject is the serpent seed. Therefore, we're going to stick pretty close to it. Know this one thing. We're way back in the beginning, but long before this time, there is a controversy, and I stated God has only one true enemy, and that is Satan himself, because he is that one of controversy. He is that one that whispers in your ear when you allow him. Well, there's a lot of times you do it on your own. You know, we're all able to dream up enough meanness and orneriness, but occasionally it'll be that wicked spirit, the same as the Holy Spirit will speak to you if you allow it. That controversy has continued since this time. Again, the question, then is the serpent seed an actual seed that walks this earth yet today? Let's find out. Where do you find out? From the Word of God. Man will mislead you. God will not. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent, there he is. If he's got seed, we're going to find out. There's the serpent. Was more subtle. He's more cunning. wiser than any beast of the field. In the Hebrew, this is any living being or creature. Man happens to be a creature, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman. In other words, again, that old devil who is the serpent. All it is a figure of speech. Don't ever forget who it is. We got a seed sower here, all right? And he said unto the woman, yes, he could speak. Why? Because of who he was. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Adam and Eve are innocent at this time. Do you remember the story? God told them, said, you can eat of every fruit tree in the garden. You can even eat from the apple trees. My words, fruit trees, in other words. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't mess with it. Now stop and think a moment. How many trees do you know that speak? And how many of them have the knowledge of good and evil? We got a big old stand of oak trees out here, and they're pretty sharp. They know when it's fall and the frost hits them, ooh, and they shake and the leaves fall off. Now, they know to shed those leaves, all right? And in the spring when the sap runs, and it's that time of the year and nature runs, they rebud, and boy, I mean, you know, the leaves come right out, but they don't have any knowledge. So what are we talking about? In other words, God, he's lying here or misleading the woman. God didn't tell them they could not eat of all trees, only one. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. He told us we could. But, this is what makes the difference of law and command, friend, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. Now, did it say not look at the tree, don't touch it? No, we're talking about the fruit of the tree, of the knowledge of good and evil. God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. In other words, there wasn't any death. They were created to be immortal. Live forever. Do you know what this word touch is in the Hebrew tongue? It's naga. Among meanings, it means to lie with a woman. Did you hear me? If you got a Strong's Concordance, you can check me out. It's no big deal. If you can read English, you can check out. You can understand what that word means in the Hebrew tongue. No big deal, friend. But I guarantee you, it doesn't mention apples. People lie to children concerning God's word. And they go through life deceived concerning the word of God. What is this word tree? Tree in the Hebrew tongue, as we'd call that good old oak tree out there, is etz. And it comes from a prime root in the Hebrew, atash. Do you know what that is? It's the backbone. What runs through your backbone? Your central nervous system. Well, let me see now a minute. What is the central nervous system? It carries the knowledge up and down your spine to your brain of good and evil. See, God created us. He knows all about us. And we are, many times, are not intelligent enough to take a moment to understand. Always go to your primes when you're researching the tree. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. There he is. There's the controversy. Disputing God's word. Ye shall surely not die. That's a lie. Surely she would die, and surely she did. Satan will do that to you if you will let him. Well, you know, you have to understand, this dear brother up here, he's talking almost vulgar. No, I'm reading God's word, just like it's written. And if you find God's word vulgar, friend, I feel sorry for you, because you're probably going to a place that we're not going to. I don't find his word vulgar at all. God is supernatural, which means more natural. He speaks in a very plain way for the simple reason he wants you to understand. You can relate to the things that happen to your body. Therefore, you can relate to the word that he gives forth. Satan lied to her. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, Satan speaking, God knows that in the day you partake of it, then your eyes shall be opened. Do you know what your eyes shall be opened? Do you know what that word is in the Hebrew? Atash, or atish, rather. And do you know it's part of the same word that means your backbone because of the knowledge that opens your eyes? Satan knew what he was talking about. He was talking about the body. In the Hebrew manuscripts, it is cut and dried, so to speak. And ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You'll know what evil's about because you're going to partake of it. Well, unfortunately, the two chose to believe the devil. And they partook. What did they do? Well, we all know that story. They hid in the garden, and they made a mask. I like to use this. They made the mask and covered their mouth so they wouldn't be eating any more apples. Oh, did they? Really? What Bible do you read, friend? Now, what does the Bible really say? They made themselves aprons to hide their nakedness from where they had sinned. Out of what? Fig leaves. Then you should be beginning to wake up and understand why Jesus said, you better learn the parable of the fig tree. Because this is what he was talking about. The very fact that that fig apron covered the seed that was hidden. And all throughout time, the fig leaf, in a metaphor, has always meant hidden, or something hidden. Check any dictionary you like or concerning figures of speech. It doesn't change. No, God knew what they had done. Now, did she conceive? That might be tough. According to a lot of people, it was really tough. Did she or didn't she? Well, Jesus has already told us that the father of the first murderer, Cain, was Satan. We know for a fact Cain is not mentioned in Adam's genealogy because he's not his offspring. And Jesus has told you plainly who his father was in Matthew 13, not speaking in a parable, but explaining one. The one that sowed that seed was the devil. Old Adam tried to lay it off on the woman. Oh, God, the woman caused me to do it. Man has never stopped to this day, you know. Women are easy marks when it comes to taking blame, aren't they? Well, bless their hearts. And let's think back to the subject now. Was there a literal conception here? That's what's important to know. With all the foundation and pure fact that is laying, what does this word say? Let's drop to the 13th verse. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? Question. Now, whatever she's done, we're going to find the outcome in the very near future, right? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Now, I want you to, we may go there in a moment. I want you to make a note there in your Bible, if you don't have it there already, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 2 and 3. The Greek account in the New Testament of this same account. Yes, it's in the New Testament. 14, and the Lord said unto the serpent, do you mean to tell me God would speak to a snake? No, he spoke to the serpent, which was one of the names of the devil, as is written in the book of Revelation. Because thou hast done this. You see, he did know better. Thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. In other words, as long as there's a day and as long as there's a night, a point of degradation. We still use it to this day. Well, I feel lower than a snake's belly. You know, still use it. Figure of speech, metaphors. Our Bible and our people, their writings are always rich in figures of speech because they say a great deal more than a whole paragraph of words can. They get the point across. Well, my goodness, what has he done and what's going on here? Why is God getting on their case so much there? What has happened as though we didn't know? Verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee, who's thee? Serpent, devil, and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, many of you will have a star there in your King James, which means that has reference to Messiah. And yes, that part of it has already come to pass, because the Kenites, sons of Cain, that had slipped in among Judah in Jerusalem, brought about, don't blame my brother Judah, it was the Kenites. That's a Hebrew word that simply, and it's all through the King James, it's just that people haven't studied, all right? Don't let it think it's a mystery. It isn't. It's written throughout God's Word. Enough of them were scattered and mixed to say, crucify him! And silly people will listen. And they bruised the heel as they nailed him to the cross. Well, now listen, you're not going to get me to believe anything about this serpent seed. No, well, stop. Whoa. Don't listen to me. Listen to the Word. Is there a serpent seed? We're talking to the serpent. 14, the God said to the serpent, said what? Between thy seed and her seed. A man's an idiot will say that there's no serpent seed. God said it. I didn't. It's time people stopped arguing with God's Word, because they have listened to man for so many years that sayings and traditions have so blocked their minds that they can't see, because they don't have eyes to see a simple truth written in God's Word. Of course there's a serpent seed, because God has made record of it. Christ taught it. Paul taught it. It's taught throughout God's Word. It is absolutely foolish to a scholar to even think about not teaching, because it is God's Word. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Now, usually, my dear friends, eating an apple will not cause this to come to pass. You can feel real comfortable. Eating an apple will not bring about conception. What I'm saying is, understand what we're talking about. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree. Yes, Adam partook of the tree also, of which I commanded thee, the fruit, that is, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all thy days. Now let's read 4:1, and let's see our entire thought smashed. All right? Let's read it. Are you ready for it? How strong is your faith? How deep can you go studying and solving the mysteries hidden within the Scriptures? 4:1. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. In the Hebrew, Ish is Yahweh, with the help of God. Well, boy, that just, it's obvious right there. It says Adam knew Eve, and she conceived and bare Cain. Well, let me ask you a question. Did it say that Cain was the progeny of Adam's having known her? No, it didn't. It's already talked about his conception prior to this. Have you ever heard of twin children by separate conceptions? It happens all the time. There have even been, all of you will remember a great case in Germany not too many years ago, even of twins by two different races, and there was a great lawsuit over it, all right? I mean, it's no big deal. Ask your family doctor, he'll tell you. It's no problem. The answer or your proof is in the next verse. And she again, mark that word again. Do you know what it is in the Hebrew manuscripts? She continued in labor. What happens when a woman continues in labor? She gave birth to Cain and continued in labor and bare his brother Abel. They were twins. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep and Cain a tiller of the ground. I want to make one other thing very clear. I want to make one other thing very clear concerning genealogy. I stated to you that nowhere will you find Cain listed in Adam's genealogy. It's really quite simple. You know the reason. It wasn't his son. Was not the son of Adam. Quite the contrary. You know that Cain slew Abel. The life is in the blood. And the blood in the ground cried out, and God heard that cry. And he came to Cain and said, "Where's your brother?" And he said, my brother's keeper. God put a curse on him. But that curse consisted of a mark. And we have people today painting pictures of the mark being, well, here it is on this package of cookies. And here it is on this bag of apples. The mark's on Cain, friend. The mark is on Cain. And that's why Jesus will say to many that think they know what the mark is, "Get out of my sight. Get away from me." He told you in Genesis chapter 4 where the mark was, the very foundation of it. Verse 14 of 4th chapter, behold, 13, "And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear." He had just told him, the ground will never reap fruit to you, and you will never find a Kenite farmer today. You may find one owning land, but he will have somebody else farming it for him. It will not produce for him. Not my word, God's. And from long experience, I can testify to it. "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth." Do you understand what it means when the ground won't produce for you? It means you've got to find somebody else to do your farming, which means what? You're going to be a parasite the rest of your life, the rest of your days. You're going to have somebody else providing for you, and you're going to have to cause them to do that through hook or crook, or you're not going to eat. You got it? That's the curse. A parasite, in other words. God made him a parasite. "Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me." And why did Cain say that? Because if he's going to be a parasite, they're going to try to get him off. What do you do? What does an old cow do if she gets a heel fly? She kicks it off. Gets rid of it, runs in a pond, or tries to. 15. "And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." In other words, this Cain and his children would fulfill a part of God's plan. Do you understand that? Fulfill a part of God's plan inasmuch as they would bring to pass the negative part. "Well, I didn't know, though, there couldn't be anything negative about God." No, there isn't. It's to correct his children. And that's why in the millennium they will bow to Jesus Christ. Because God loves everyone. But God's plan and his prophecy shall come to pass as they are written. And these people are a part of that prophecy. And don't look down your nose at them. Because but by the grace of God, there you go. I'm sure that whatever caused each of us to be in our present position was well earned. The same as he said, "I am the potter and you're the clay, friend." And if I want to make a, he said concerning Pharaoh, if out of the same lump, if I want to make a garbage pail and a flower vase, I'll do it. So God controls, but he is fair and loving overall. Sevenfold times worse, and the Lord set a mark. Underline it, a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Of course, this was, what did he do? And Cain knew his wife. Where did his wife come from? The six-day creation. All right, no big deal if you've studied God's Word. And if you go to a World Book Encyclopedia, the big two-volume type, and look up the word K-E-N-I-T-E, which is the Hebrew word for son of Cain, it will tell you they were I place it, say, in whereby today you will find the Mongolians in that general vicinity. But they have scattered from there all over the world. And he builded a city, Bar Enoch. Well, now, this is strange. Cain had an Enoch. But whatever you do, don't ever confuse him with the Enoch of Adam. For even he was translated. This is a wicked man. Why did they give them the same names? To teach you a lesson, if you're wise, if you have eyes to see, that you'd better keep your eyes open and know right from left and know which side of the conspiracy that you're following, whether you're being duped or not. Well, how can I know that? By checking it out yourself. Don't be lazy. She conceived and bare Enoch, built a city, called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. Why did he build the city? Couldn't farm, right? I mean, that's scriptural. He had to build a city. And unto Enoch was born Irad. All right, now, then you have Cain's genealogy. Totally separate from Adam's. Why? You know the answer. He wasn't Adam's son. Now, verse 25 of that chapter. And Adam knew his wife again. Again doesn't necessarily mean a second time, but let's at least say this is the second witness to it, all right? And she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, she said, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. You see, God had already placed the man to carry the name, so to speak. After this, she would be subject to her husband's name. She couldn't claim Cain, because Cain wasn't of her husband. And to Seth, to him was there also born a son. And then go to chapter 4. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day, this is the fifth chapter, that God created him in the likeness of God, and Adam lived in 100 and so many years and had a son and called his name Seth. Well, he had a son before that. His name was Abel. Why isn't he listed there? Because he died with no progeny. Who killed him? Cain. Well, if Cain's Adam's son, why wouldn't he list it here? The answer is obvious. I mean, I'm being ludicrous in a way to drive the point home. He wasn't his son. And then you can begin to understand why Jesus said, an enemy came in the night and sowed the wicked seed, the hybrid. And then there's going to be some that are going to say, well, you mean to tell me that Satan was able to impregnate Eve? Well, who were you made after? Who were we created after? The word in the Hebrew goes even as far as phantom, which is an exact likeness. Man was created as God and the angels. Even the food that was fed our people when they wandered in the wilderness was manna. The same food that sustains that body sustains this body. Different substance, same pattern, friend. And then, of course, Genesis chapter 6. Satan, what was he trying to do? The Messiah was going to come through that woman. And Satan would try every trick in the book to stop the cleanliness of that bloodline all the way through David, the real key to keep Messiah from being born pure, whereby he would be a pure sacrifice to the living God for your sins today. And when Satan couldn't get the job done in the garden, he sent his what? You can say it. What did he send? In Genesis 6, fallen angels. After who? The daughters of Adam. Why the daughters of Adam? Because they were the daughters of Eve, the woman's seed. I will put enmity between thy seed and her seed. Eve became the mother of all living. Why? There was a six-day creation. Because through her would come Messiah. And you're either in Christ or you're not going to be living. So he sent the Nephilim from the base prime root, Napha, which is fallen angels. They impregnated many of Adam's daughters and giants were born. There's no big deal in it. Of course it's possible. It happened. That's why Noah's flood came to pass. It was to destroy who? The unclean progeny of the cohabiting of the daughters of Adam, Eve's daughters, whereby Christ would be born to that pure woman. He destroyed all but one family. That's how it raged through the community. That's why Jesus warned you when he gave you the seven signs that would be at the end of this earth age, which are the seven seals, which the seven trumpets sound them one after the other. Do you know what they are? One of the warnings was this: it shall be as it was in the days of Noah. Remember in Matthew 24. They shall be giving and taking in marriage. With who? Revelation 12. Michael cast Satan and his angels back out on the earth as Antichrist, and heavens rejoiced, but woe, woe to the earth, for Antichrist is with you. That's to say, instead of Jesus, called Spurious Messiah. And most people are going to think it's Jesus come to fly them away. And they're going to jump right into bed with him, because they haven't read the Word of God. Is it any wonder? That's why Jesus said, "Woe to you that are with child when I return." He wasn't talking about a mother carrying a child in her womb. He was talking about those that would fall off to the first wedding. If a husband's been away 2,000 years and he comes back and his wife has a suckling child, what does it mean? She was unfaithful. He's coming back for a bride, and he wants her to be a virgin. We speak in a spiritual sense. But I'm going to tell you something. Noah was the only one found perfect. But do you know what that word perfect is? You can check it out for yourself. If you do, be sure you take it to the prime. Pedigree. He was the only one that still had a perfect pedigree. What does that mean? It means he was the only family that hadn't mixed with the giants. That the woman would have a pure seed, and Christ did come through that lineage of Noah. Well, 3 minutes. I want to close with one thing. I want you to turn with me real quickly to 2 Corinthians in the New Testament. The reason I will do this is, you all know it, but it's to lace together in this tape, to lace together the fact the story carries throughout the Word of God. Chapter 11, 2 Corinthians, Paul teaching. Let's pick it up with verse 2 for the sake of time. He's talking to his students that he wants to present to the true Christ, not the false. "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy." I'm jealous just like God is of you. "For I have espoused you to one husband." I want you to wait for the wedding feast of the true Christ, "that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." I don't want you to mess up. "But I fear." What is the subject? The subject is presenting you as a virgin. Bear that in mind spiritually. "For I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled." Underline that word. If you don't know how to use a Strong's Concordance, it's 1818 in the Greek dictionary. Expatio, which means wholly seduced. Nothing else. Eve, through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupt from the simplicity that is in Christ, from the simple thing that happened, that you might mess yourself up. What was the subject and the object? Losing virginity. Do I have to ask, do you know what that means? You'd know what it means. See that you don't. Stay true to the true Christ. A spurious Messiah is coming soon. He has a seed today. How did the Kenite make it through the flood? 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55. The Kenite was already the scribeship for the tribe of Judah. They made it through in good shape because they were a different flesh, two of every flesh on the ark. I personally, as a scholar, do not believe that the flood was worldwide. Its purpose was only to destroy those that had mixed with giants, to rid the earth of them. World government and terra firma, erect soil, is two different things, but it is passed off as world in the language. Well, I hope you've enjoyed that. It's important that you know the first step. or the rest of the Bible and the rest of the parables will not make any sense unto you. Praise God for His Word. God's Word is not vulgar. It's pure and it's clean. And it will lead you to the pure life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the written Word. Father, give us understanding. Give us wisdom, Father, for we know that all wisdom comes from You. May we endear to ourselves this letter that You have written to each one of Your children, Father, and grow skilled within it and familiar with it, whereby we may love and understand what You would have us do in this generation. We thank You in Yeshua's name. Amen.